Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yudam and Aleph, three lines down. The Gemara is continuing to discuss numerous cases where we have Sfekot involved in the cases. And based on those Sfekot, the Gemara is going to compare them to other cases that we have in other places in Shas. In general, the Rishonim over here have two different approaches to dealing with all these Sfekot. Some of the Rishonim, in dealing with this, assume that Chametz has the same din as the principles of Sfekot that we find in other places in Shas. That means Sfek Derabanan Lekula, Sfek Doraita Lechumra, Sfek Sfeka is Mutar or Lekula. So those are a set of Rishonim that have that approach, including Tosafot over here and the Balamor. There are others who think that Chametz and Bedika here are much more unique, and therefore they do not necessarily comply or fit into the normal rules of Sfekot throughout Shas, and these are unique. And they are unique because, this is the Ravid says, the Ravid in the Hasagot on the Balamur says, Time of the Milto, Mishum de Ikar Bedika la Safek Nitkana, Mishum Hachi Chada Sfeka lo Mafkala. Bedika itself, the whole purpose of Bedika is to deal with the Safek. So you're starting out within that context of Safek. So one safek, it's not a surprise. One safek, other places in Shas, has impact. Over here by Bedika, one safek is going to have no impact because that's the whole point. That's the whole point of Bedika is to deal with the safek. And therefore, you're going to need something more in order to move the needle over here. So based on that, the Rishonim have different ways to explain each of these cases. We'll see as we move through it, Rashi and Tosafot, and maybe some of the other Rishonim, how they deal with each of these cases. They have to explain what exactly is the background in each of these cases. How we're dealing with the Doraita problem, we're dealing with the Dorabanan problem, so on and so forth. So just keep that in mind broadly as we deal with these cases. All right, so in the first three lines down, Sibur Echad Shel Chametz Vilafanav Bet Batim Bedukim. It's a pile of Chametz sitting in front of two houses, and each of those houses has already been Baduk. Va'atach Bar, a mouse comes along with Shakal, and he takes one of them, V'lo Yadina in the Hayal, Ila Hayal. We don't know which one of them he entered. He left with a bunch of Chametz, he went into one of the houses, we don't know which one he went into. Hainu Shnei Shvilim. This is the equivalent to the case of Shnei Shvilim, two paths. Ditznan. We have a Mishnah in Ta'arot. Shnei Shvilim, Echad Tamei, Vechad Tohor. We have two paths to get to a certain location, and one of them is Tamei, one of them is Tohor. The one that is Tamei is for sure Tamei because there is a kever, there is a grave across the entire way. If you went that way, you for sure are Tamei. Valach Echad Bechad Mehem. This individual went on one of them. Vasan Ta'arot. And afterwards he touched or dealt with Ta'arot. And then his friend, and he went the other way. They both know for certain that they did not take the same path. Each one of them went on a different one of these paths. And this second individual also did tarot. So now they come and they want to know what's the din. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Nishalu, Ze Bifnei Atzmo, Ze Bifnei Atzmo. If each one of them asks individually, Tehorim, they're Tehor. Shneihem Bevat Achat, Tmeim. If they both come to ask us at the same time, then they are Tmeim. The difference being between whether Tohorim and Tmeim here has to do with the way that the question is being posed. If they come separately, we can look at each one of them and say, look, you are a Safek. Since you're a Safek, you're Tohor. But if they come together and they're asking us for a joint Psak, we can't, with a straight face, say to both of them, you're both Tohorim. We know for sure that one of them is Tameh. If one of them is Tameh, you can't say to both of them, you are a Tohorim. That's inconsistent or impossible. B'yosu mer ben kach or ben kach Tmeim. Doesn't matter how they show up, they're always Tmeim. Now, Amar Rava, Vitema Rabbi Yochanan, they qualify or they narrow the machloket and they say, Bevat achat divrei kol tmeim. Everybody agrees if they come together and ask for a single psak that they are tmeim, because we can't say with a straight face to both of them that they are tehorim. Bezeh achar zeh, if they come individually, divrei kol tehorim. Everybody agrees that there, when you come for an individual psak, each one of them can look at you and say it's a safek, so therefore you're tehor. O nechloku, so where is the machloket? Where he comes to ask a question on himself and on his friend. He comes only as one individual, but he asks her psak halacha about both of them. Rabbi Yossi says it's similar to them coming in one instance together. Because he says, look, if you're coming to ask about both of you, what's the difference if you both show up? Or if I ask about both of us together, you're still in the same predicament, which is we don't want to give a single answer that covers both of you, because that wouldn't be truthful. Rabbi Yehuda medamilele zechar zeh. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, we can do it in a way that avoids that problem, because what we can do is, we can answer your question without really answering about the other individual. We're going to say to you, you are Tahor. Now, he asked about both of them, so you might extrapolate that to the other individual and say he is Tahor, but we're not going to give you that psak. By giving you the psak that you're Tahor, you can extrapolate it and tell the other guy that he's Tahor, which is not wrong, because each of you individually, if you looked at yourselves, is a safek, and you are Tahor. But we're not going to do a speak or give you a directive about both of you. But there is a way to deal with it, and that's where the machloket is. So with regards to chametz in this case, you have this safek. You have a safek, did it go into this house or did it go into that house? So you have the same question as the Shnei Shvilim over here. If each individual comes and asks us about their house, we would say each individual house does not require a new bdikah. There's a safek. Safek does not require a new bdikah because we don't know if it went in there. We don't know if it didn't go in there. On the other hand, if they both come together and they ask us for a psak halacha, do you need a bdikah? In that case, we can't waive a bdikah for both of them because for certain the chametz entered one of the houses. And so it'd be the same case, basically, as we have in the case of Shnei Shvilim. Safek al, safek lo al. We have a safek as to whether he entered the house or he didn't enter the house. So we saw them pick up some chametz. We don't know if he went into this house. We don't know if he didn't go into the house. Hainu bika'ah. This is the equivalent case of a bika'ah of a large field, a large tract of field. Ubiplukto, the Rabbi Lezer Rabbanon. It's the equivalent of the machloket between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanon there. Ditnan, we have a mishnah. Hanichnas the bika'ah. Someone enters into bika'ah. Bimotak shamim. It was in the rainy season. Vituma bisadeh plonit. And there's a cavern in one of the fields there. Even though the fields are clearly demarcated, he doesn't know where he went exactly. V'amar echad, halachti b'mekom alaz. He says, I definitely went and I took a teyul. I walked through that area. Eni yodei nechnasti b'oto sadeh. I don't know if I went into that field particularly. V'im lo nechnasti. I know it was in the general area. I just don't know if I went to that field that has the cavern in it or has the tuma in it. So b'lezer mitaher. B'lezer says you're tohor. V'chamim mitamim. Chamim say you are tamei. So the Chachamim's position is easy to understand here. This is a case of Safek Tuma Birshut HaYachid. Safek Tuma Birshut HaYachid is Tamei. That's the general principle we have in Shas, which is that whenever you have a Safek in Tuma, if it's Birshut HaRabim, it's Tahor. If it's Birshut HaYachid, then it's Tamei. So here you have a case of Safek Tuma Birshut HaYachid. So we say Tamei. That's the position of the Chachamim, and that's easy to understand. Rabbi Lezer Mitaher. Rabbi Lezer is Mitaher, and his position is hard to understand, and here we have an explanation for it. Sheya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Safek Bi'ah Tohor, Safek Magah Tumah Tameh. He says, what's the difference between Safek Bi'ah and Safek Magah? Rashi in Avodah Zarah has a totally different explanation for it. Over here, he and Tosafot agree as to the explanation, and that is that we have dealing with a Safek Sveka. You're dealing with a double Safek. In a case when you're dealing with Safek Magah Tumah, when you're dealing with a Safek about coming into contact with Tumah, then you're faced with a single safek. In a case of a single safek, yes. Then we say that a single safek, birshut yachid, is tamei. Now here you're dealing with a safek feka, because you have a safek whether he ever entered the field, and even if he entered the field, did he come into contact with the tuma? So you have a double safek or a safek feka. And that's where Rabbi Eliezer says, look, I agree with you that when safek tuma birshut yachid is tamei. But now when it comes to a safek feka, a double leveled safek, that already is tahor. The chachamim come along and say, wait a minute. That's not the case. We think that safek tuma birshut yachid is tamei, and that's already a chidush because the person has a chezka tara, and yet we still say safek tuma birshut yachid is tamei. So therefore, if it can overcome the problem of the chazaka, it can also overcome the problem of safek sveka. And therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you are tahor. According to the chachamim, you are tamei. Now, what about our case over here by chametz? Rashi says something interesting. He says, "Avahashto, havalei sveik sveika v'gabei batim afilu rabbanon modu dekaven debidikat chametz derabbanon talinan lekula." Rashi says that even the rabbanon will agree in our case over here that it is the kula, and you do not have to do a bidika. You have to do a bidika because it's only a din derabbanon that we're dealing with. Since we're dealing at level derabbanan, even the rabbanon who, by the case of kever, say that you are tamei. Nevertheless, over here, if they agree when you have a sfeik sveika together with a din derabbanon, that they're willing to, they will be mekel, and they won't force you to do a additional bdika. Now, the Reed does point out here that the Gemara is somewhat inconsistent in its comparisons between bdikat chameit to other items, as he points out here. It says, "Mashayach l'dmuye l'bika t'hacha, afil lekel asafek echad ukma chazkat baduk." In our case, you can put it within the chazaka that was already checked. So why should this case be different? Before we called Bdika Safek Tumah B'Shut Rabim. Now we're calling it Safek Tumah B'Shut Yachid. So he says that it's not clear why the Gemara is switching back and forth to, in these cases this way, this case is this way. Why are they in some ways calling it a Chezkat Batuk here, and the other case don't give it the Chezkat Batuk? Why do we have that difference? Rashi deals with some of that by saying in this case that everybody would agree, even the Rabbona would agree over here, that it's a case of Sfek Sfeka and the Rabbona, and it's the Kula. The difficulty with that Rashi, and Tosafot will say that in the next case, is that the Gemara compared it to a Machloka between Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbonan. The way that you're saying it now, there is no machlok between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. It's all the same. Okay, next case. Al ubadak velo eshkach. He goes into the house, he checks it, and then he goes into the house, he checks, velo eshkach, and he doesn't find it. So he knows that chametz went into the house. He goes to chase after it, and he doesn't find it. So now he's in a difficult position. It's a machloket Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. It's not. We have a Mishnah. Aya Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Dvar Shebechazkat Tuma, something that has a chazaka of Tuma. Lo Olam Hu BeTumato Ad Sheivadelecha Tuma Hechan Hi. It remains in that status of Tuma until you find the source of Tuma. Chomim Omerim Bodek Ad Shemagia LeSela. You check until you reach the bedrock. O LeKarka BeTula, or to the earth that was never overturned, and then it's considered to be Tahor. The case that they're talking about is a case in Nida, a case where you have three piles. And one of the piles has Tuma in it. We're uncertain as to which of those piles has the Tuma in it. So you go ahead and you check the first pile and you don't find any Tuma. When you don't find any Tuma, we assume that that pile is Tahor and everything's fine. Check the second pile. You don't find any Tuma. We assume the first two piles are fine. The Tuma is in the third pile. But then you check the third pile. And after he checks the third pile, guess what? He doesn't find any Tuma there either. So now what do? We knew that Tuma was under one of these piles. So what do you do in this case? We've checked all three piles and he can't find the Tuma. So the machloket here is about that case. Rabbi Meir says you're stuck. You can't do anything until you find the Tuma. The chazaka is that there's Tuma here and you're in trouble because everything has a safek Tuma until you find it. Chamim say you check until what's plausible, which means that you check till the bedrock, you check to the area of the earth that was not overturned yet, and then you know for sure that wasn't here. And then we basically say it was a bird that went off with it, an animal ate it, it's gone. Whatever is here is gone now, and we don't have to worry about it. So now, same thing here by Bigdichat Chametz. You would assume is that there's a machloket Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Again, Rashi says here, Vegabei Bigdichat Chametz, Afilu Rabbi Meir Amrinan Achbar Achlab Dikat Chametz Derabanan. Since Bigdichat Chametz is Derabanan, Rashi says over here that even Rabbi Meir will agree that you don't have to do Bdika. So this is where Tosafot already asked. I don't understand. How could it be that Rashi is saying there's no machloket here if the Gemara says there is a machloket about it? The second question that he asked, which is also an important question, he says, what are you going to make the guy do? Rabbi Meir says before, if you don't find the Tuma, it remains Bechezgat Tuma. That means if you do Taharot over there, if you make something Tahor over there, there becomes Tameh. But over here, what are you going to tell the guy to do? He did a Bdika, he can't find it. So what's your other option? To tell him to do Bdika again? He'll go look again and he won't find it again. So the solution for Rabbi Meir seems strange because all you're going to do is keep asking him to do bedika, bedika, bedika. It doesn't help you. So therefore, Tosafot says that the case here is talking about a case where there was no bittul. And therefore, you're dealing with an issue d'oraita rather than an issue d'rabanan. And the question here is, do you need bittul or you can rely on this bedika? Rabbi Meir says the bedika is not sufficient because you didn't find the tuma or you didn't find the chamet. Therefore, you must do bittul and drop it down to a d'rabanan. You drop it down to Rabbanan, then Rashi's right. That's what it says. And even Rabbi Meir would agree that you don't have to do another Bidika. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, you don't have to do Bittul. You did a Bidika, you didn't find it, you're done. That's it. And D'oraita, you've covered yourself, and you don't have to do the Bittul. And that's how Tosafot explains the Machloket here between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So he agrees to Rashi, if it's on a D'Rabbanan level, there would be no Machloket. But he says, but that doesn't make sense, because Gemara says there is a Machloket. So therefore, Tosafot says, it is a D'oraita level. And since it's the right level, that's the question. Do you have to do something more than Bidika? Rabbi Meir says, yes, do more than Bidika, do Bitul. Because otherwise, Rabbi Meir is going to say, keep doing Bidika. It's not going to help you. Keep checking, checking. You won't find anything. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, you do one Bidika. You did a thorough Bidika. You can't find it. You're done. And you're okay at that point. All right. Al Ubadak Veshkach. Sees it going into the house. It was a house that was Baduk. Takes in Chametz into the house. And then they find it. He finds the Chametz. Plukta de Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It's the equivalent of the Machog between Rabbi and Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya, we have a Breita. Sadeh shenevad ba'kever. You have a field in which a grave was lost. Ha'nichnas otochatachem tamei. If you enter that field, then you're tamei because possibility that you went over the kever. Nimsa ba'kever. Someone finds the grave. So ha'nichnas otochat tahor. Somebody who enters that field now is tahor. Sheni omer kever shavad hu kever shenimta. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says, if you find a grave there, we know there was a grave lost there. We assume the grave that you found was the grave that was originally lost there. Shimgalmeo omer. That's not sufficient. You got to check the entire field because who says that the grave that you found was the original grave? Maybe it was a different grave. If it's a different grave, that means that the grave that was lost there is still in place. So then in our case as well, you have the same safek with regards to the house. Did the chametz that you found in the house, can you assume that that chametz is the chametz that went in there and therefore you would not require another bdika? That would be the position of Rabbi. Shem Gamliel say, I'm sorry, you found chametz, you found another piece of chametz. The original chametz that went into this house, You didn't find it. Now you got to do another bedika. All right, next case. Niyatet umatzayud. He put down a pot with 9, and then he found 10. So there are two possibilities of looking at when you put down 9 there, and then you found 10. Tosfot says the case here is where they're tied together. They're on a single string. So that makes the case a lot more plausible, understandable. You have the case here. We have 9 pieces of bread, and then all of a sudden there are 10 there. So there are two possibilities. One possibility is someone came and put a 10th one there. The other possibility is that the 9 that were there are gone. And now these are a totally new group of 10 that are sitting there. And that's Plukto de Rabbi Rabbanon. That's Machlok de Rabbi Rabbanon, the Tanya. And Yachmaneh, he left 100 zuz worth of Meiser Sheni. Comes back, Umatzamataim. And now all of a sudden he comes back, and sure enough, there's 200 zuz there. Hulin Umaser Sheni Mu'uravim Zebeze Divi Rabbi. Rabbi says, you know what happened here? You had 100 zuz of Meiser Sheni, and then someone came along and put into your box another 100 zuz of Hulin. So the original 100 are there, and the new 100 are chulin, so you have half Meiser Sheni, half that is chulin. Rashi says, what do you do now? You bring 100 zuz over, and you're poda the Meiser Sheni. You say, wherever this Meiser Sheni is, it's mechulal on this money, and then you take it up to Yerushalayim. Tosafot says that's not necessary. You could use the money that's there. Because the manashach, if the money that's there is the Meiser Sheni, then you say, if I picked up this 100, this is the Meiser Sheni. If not, then I'm poda whatever is not the Meiser Sheni onto this money. So you can do a manashach with the money that's there. That's Rabbi's position. Chamim Arim, Akol Chulin. Chamim say, the entire 200 are Chulin. Because what do I say? I say the original 100 that was Meiser Sheni, somebody took. Now the new money that's here, it's a totally new deposit of 200 that's here. So the same thing by the case of Bdika. In the case here where you have Chameit, and you left 9 and you find 10. So now, what are we going to tell you to do? Do we tell you you got to go check for the other 9? That'll be the position of the Chachamim. Chamim say, the 10 that are here is a totally new thing. The 9, they're gone already. So that you have to go search for. On the other hand, Rabbi going to say, somebody brought an ekpitz chametz here, you don't have to look for anything. What happens if he leaves 10, and now he finds 9? Hainu seifa. That's the latter half of that tosefta, which is the Tanya. If he left 200 zuz, which is the Meiser Sheni, and then when he comes back, he finds only 100. Mane munach, mane mutal, divei Rabbi. Rabbi says, like he said before, basically, this is part of the original 200. 100 of the original 200 is still here. Someone walked off with the other 100. It's all chulin. Why? Because the original 200 are gone. The 100 that's here is a totally new 100 that was dropped in here. So in our case, too, the question will be, what do you have to check for? According to Rabbi, you went from 10 down to 9. One piece of bread's missing. So according to Rabbi, you're going to have to search for that one piece of bread that's missing. According to the Chachamim, there are actually 10 pieces of bread missing. The 9 are a totally new group of 9. So according to Rabbi, you're going to search for one piece of bread. According to Chachamim, we have to search for all 10 pieces of bread. Okay, next case. Heniach b'zavitzu, umatza b'zavit acheret. He left it in this corner, comes back, it's in another corner. So plugta de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel v'rabbanon. It's machloket de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanon. Titanyo, we have a brayta, kardom shavad babayit. You have whether it's a pickaxe, a spade, that was lost in the house. Habayit tameh. The bayit is tamei shani omer, because I'm explaining what happened here is adam tamei nichnas l'sham v'natlo. We assume that someone who was tamei came in there and took it. That's why you can't find it anymore. So since he came in and he was tamei, he touched the other kelim in the house. Everything's tamei. So that's why we have a problem here. B'shigol omer abayit tahor. Bayit tahor shani omer hishilo l'acher. You lent it to someone else v'shachach, and you forgot that you lent it to someone else. Oh, shnat lo mizavit zu v'niach mizavit acheret. Or you put it in this corner. And then you forgot, and you moved it to another corner. Vishachach, and you forgot about it. It says, Zavid, mandachar shmei. Who mentioned anything about corners here? So chasurei mechzerad. We're missing some words here, which is, v'hachiktani, kardom shavad babayit. If you have a kardom that's lost from the house, lost means that it's gone. You can't find it anymore. Abayit tamei, shani omer adam tamei nichnas l'sham v'natalo. Because I assume that somebody tamei came in there and took it. O sheniicho b'zavit zu matzo b'zavit acheret. He put it down in one corner, and then he finds it in another corner. Bayit tamei, Rabbi Shigol omer, bayit tohor, shani omer, ish lo l'acher v'shachach, o shenatlo mizavit zu v'niach b'zavit zu v'shachach. The Chachamim addressed both of those cases, both the case where it was lost from the house entirely, as well as the case where it went from one corner to the other. And Rabbi Shigol Gamliel is responding to them and saying, in both cases, I don't think that's the case. I think you forgot what happened, and that's why it's okay. So same thing over here. If the chametz is in one corner, it moves to the other corner, what happened? So according to Rabbi Shigol Gamliel, is it moved by itself? You don't have to worry about it. According to the Chachamim, we assume that somebody came in here and interfered. If somebody came in here and interfered, what does that mean? So Tosafot already takes up the issue, and he says, according to Rabbanon, you need a bdika because the Rabbanon believe, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, before that tivadei kol hasadeh kula. that when you lose something in the field, you can't assume what you found was the original thing. You have to check the whole field. So the Chachamim here, when they know that someone came in here and moved the chametz from one place to the other, we don't assume that's also the same piece of chametz. Maybe it's a different piece of chametz. Or we say that, according to Rabbi, when we don't know how many pieces of bread there. He knows he left some pieces of bread in one corner, and then there's some in the other corner, he doesn't know how many moved, so therefore there's a safek there, and he's got to check. So even according to Rabbi, or Gizem, Shimon Gamliel, even if you found the bread in the other corner, that's why you have to do a bdikah. According to Chachamim, you're going to have to do a bdikah. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you won't have to do a bdikah in this case. Oh, wait, I have to answer your question, David. I'm sorry. Tosafot asks your question about here and says, how do you know that the guy who came in here is Tameh? Why do we assume that the guy who came in here is Tameh? Because we have other cases. In Shas, like for instance, we had a case in Gemara in Nida, where you have a loaf of bread that's sitting on a board that's over a piece of things that's Tameh, and it's a question if it became Tameh, and we assume, no, that somebody Tahor came in and moved it. So the Rabbeinu Tam differentiates over here, and he says that there's a difference between Gazrua Safek Kelim and Itzaim, though Gazrua Safek Ochlim and Imtzaim. That there's Chachamim at Gzeira on Kelim, where we have uncertainty, we assume that there is Tuma. When you talk about Ochlim, we talk about food, and there's uncertainty, we assume that it was Tahor. So over here, since we have uncertainty in this case, that uncertainty makes us assume that there is Tuma. And the way there is for Tuma is because an individual who's Tamei came in here. So the assumption is that because these Kelim were touched, or somebody came in and touched the Kelim, they are B'safek Tamei. So it really has nothing to do with the individuals coming in. Of course, the individual came in, it was Tamei. But it wasn't that he had a Chazaka of Tahara or a Chazaka of Tuma. It's just the assumption that because these Kelim are now B'safek, we assume that they are Tmeim. So now, Amarova. Achbar Nichnas V'kikar B'fiv. You see a mouse going into the house with a loaf of bread in its mouth. And you chased after it, and you see crumbs on the floor. You need to do a bdika, because mice don't usually leave crumbs behind them. So the assumption being here that he walked off with the loaf of bread, and the crumbs that you just found, those are from a different piece of bread that you left behind before. But on the other hand, if you have a young child that's going in with the loaf of bread, and has a kikar in his hand, and you chase after him, and you find the crumbs on the ground, there you don't need a bdika, because children do leave crumbs behind them. So if they're leaving crumbs, the likelihood is it came from the bread. Now the assumption being here, number one, that there are enough crumbs to equal the entirety of the loaf that went into the house. That's why you know you have the whole thing in your hand. And Tosafot says this even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who before said when you find a kever, it doesn't count, you have to check the whole field. Over here, he would agree because you have raglaim the davar. You have circumstantial evidence that this is the bread. You saw him go in, you chased right after him, and you find the crumbs right away. So there's circumstantial evidence that this is the right loaf, and we're not going to make you check the whole house in this case. So bai rova, achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiv. See a mouse going in with a loaf in his mouth. V'achbar yotze v'kikar b'fiv. And you see a mouse going out with a loaf in his mouth. Mau, miyamrina, do we say, hainu haida au, v'hainu haida nafak? The one that went in, it was the one that came out. Odilma achrinohu. Maybe it's a different one. You got an infestation of mice. One guy's going in with the loaf, the other guy's coming out with the loaf, but there's still bread in your house. Do you have to do bdika? So now the Gemara doesn't answer that, but says imtim tzlomer. If you want to say, hainu haida alva, hainu haida nafak. Let's agree that the one who went in is the one that came out. Again, the Rambam in general looks at imtim tzlomer as being a conclusion for the Gemara. The Gemara concluded that this is the case. Here, even the other Rishonim believe that that's the case here. We assume because it's bdika and it's a safek, so that the one that went in is the one that came out. So now what about the case? Achbar levan nichnas v'kikar b'fiv. You have a white mouse that goes in with a loaf in his mouth. Achbar shachor yotzei v'kikar b'fiv. And then a black mouse comes out, and he has a loaf of bread in his mouth. Mao, havade achrinahu. Of course, we're talking about a different mouse here. Odilma armuye arame mine. Or maybe this is a case where he wrestled it from him. He wrested it from the other mouse. Yes, the mouse that came out is a different mouse, but he got the bread from the first mouse. He grabbed it away from him. He snatched it away from him, and that's why he's going out with that. Now the Gemara says, "V'imtim tzolomar achbarim lo shlakli me'adodi." That mice don't steal from each other. They don't steal bread from each other. So let's give you the case like this: Achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiv. The mouse goes in, and it has a loaf of bread in its mouth. V'chuda yotza v'kikar b'fia. On the way out, it's not a mouse anymore. It's a chuda. You have a weasel going out on the outside. Mao. In that case, chuda v'day me'achbar shakaltia. The chuda definitely would steal from a mouse. He has no problem stealing from a mouse. They're not in the same group or the same family here. Odilma achrino, or maybe this is a totally different loaf of bread. Dim ita de me'achbar shekaltia, because if he took it from the mouse, achbar b'fiyah hava mishtakach. Not only would the bread be in the mouth of the chulda, the weasel, the mouse would be in the mouth of the weasel as well. He's not going to leave the mouse and take the bread. He's going to take both of them. The Gemara says, v'im tim tzolomar, im ita de achbar shekaltia, achbar b'fiyah hava mishtakach. All right, let's assume you're right here, that you're right, that the chulda would only be coming out with the mouse and the bread in his mouth. And over here, he's only coming out with the bread. What about this case? Achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiyah. The mouse goes in, and he has a loaf of bread in his mouth. V'chuda yotza v'kikar v'achbar b'fiyah chuda. Chuda is going out, and he has in his mouth both the mouse and the loaf of bread separately. They're not together, but separately he walks out with them. Meaning, in one side of his mouth he's got the mouse, one side of the mouth he's got the bread. Mao, what's the case here? Hachav adai iohu. This is definitely, he's got the mouse, he's got the bread. Of course, this is the same bread. O dilma, im ita de iu nihu kikar b'fiyah achbar mishtachach hava b'yishtechu chay. Because if that was the case, then you would have to find, when he came out, the weasel, he would come out with the mouse and the loaf inside the mouth of the mouse. I mean, that, why did they separate? They shouldn't have separated. When he caught him, he caught the mouse with the loaf of bread in his mouth. He should have them all in one shot. Oh. Or maybe because the mouse was running for his life, he dropped the bread and he left it behind. And then the weasel chased them down and he got the mouse and then he got the bread. So teiku, Gemara says, that we'll have to leave unresolved. We're not sure what happened in that case. All right, next case. Bayirova, kikar b'shmei korah. You have a loaf of bread that's up in the rafters. Tzirich sulam l'horida, o ein tzirich. Do you have to bring in a ladder to take it down or not? Miran rinan kulei hai lo atrochu rabbonon. Do we say that the rabbonon did not force you to deal with this type of situation? You threw this, the mill, to get down this chametz. Why? Kevin dol nachit minashay. Because it's not coming down by itself. The only way you're going to get up there is if you climb up there. So if you're not going to climb up there, we're not worried about you bumping into this chametz during Pesach. So lo ata lemichla. So you're not going to eat it because you're not going to come into contact with it. And since you did bittul, you're done. Correct. Yeah, once it's bittul, it's out of its possession. And then bedika is only, as we said before, once you've done bittul, the bedika is only there because shema yimtza gluska yififia. Maybe you'll bump into a nice loaf of bread. You might eat it. You might want to keep it. But here it's not going to happen because it's all the way up there. So that's why he's not going to bump into it. O dilma zimnin denafa v'ata demichla. Or maybe sometimes it'll get shaken from the rafters and the bread will fall down. V'imtim saloma zimnin denafa v'ata demichla. We do worry about the fact that it might fall from the rafters at some point. Kikar babur. What about you have a loaf of bread down in a pit or in a cistern? Tzirich sulam naluta. Do you have to lower a ladder down to take it out? Oh, ain't tzirich. Or do you not need that? V'hacha v'ada lo avida desalku minafsha. Here, the bread's not coming up by itself. There's no way. Like in the rafters, it can fall down by itself. But over here, it's not coming up the ladder by itself. But maybe sometimes he's going to descend into this pit or this cistern to do whatever he needs to do there. And he'll come into contact with the chametz and he'll eat it. Is there times where he descends down there and he wants to do whatever he has to do there and he's going to come to eat it? Kikar b'fi nachash. You have a loaf of bread in the mouth of a snake. This case of the kikar b'fi nachash is a totally different case. It's an independent question. Do you have to hire a charmer to get the bread out of his mouth or not get the bread out of his mouth? So Gemara says, the Rabbanan forced you to do bdika when it's your personal effort, your personal exertion. They're not going to force you to go and hire a charmer over here all of a sudden to get the bread out of the snake. Or maybe it makes no difference. Teku. Here we leave it as unresolved. This case of the kikar b'fi nachash is a totally different case. It's an independent question. Although, it's a little bit problematic because we said before, when it came to bedika, that people like to do bedika with their money. In the case where you had rented the house assuming there was a bedika done, and then all of a sudden you find out there's no bedika. So Gemara answered first, a person wants to do a mitzvah b'gufe, and then the Gemara says a person wants to do a mitzvah b'mune. So over there we said that a person does want to expend money in order to do bedika. And what's the Gemara's question over here, whether the person wants to expend money? Because the difference is, over there, he's doing a real bedika. Over here, you have a question. Even if you hire the charmer to get the bread out of the mouth of the snake, who says the snake's not going to leave beforehand with the bread? Or who says the snake's not going to eat the bread? So over here, he's going to spend the money without any outcome that's going to be definitive or it's going to help him towards the bdika. So over here, that's why the Gemara asked the question, as opposed to there, where he has to do bdika and he's willing to expend the money to do the mitzvah. Over here, the mitzvah might not even be relevant because the bread might not be here anymore, or the snake might take off with the bread, and then there's no question at all. Okay, next Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bodkim Or Yudalit, Ubi Yudalit Shacharit, Ubishat HaBiur. It sounds like from here that Rabbi Yehuda requires you to do Bdika three times. The night of the 14th, the morning of the 14th, and at the time of the Biur. V'chamimrim, Lo Badak Or Yudalit, if he doesn't do Bdika on the night of the 14th, Yivdok B'Yudalit, then you check on the morning of the 14th. Lo bedak b'yudali v'doch b'toch ha-moed. If you don't check on the morning of the 14th, then you have to check during the moed. Now, you would have read this, b'toch ha-moed, the pashtut is b'toch ha-moed is on Pesach itself. Rashi says that's not the case. B'toch ha-moed, according to Rashi, is b'shash shishit. That means in the sixth hour, which is the moed ha-bi'ur. It's the time that of bi'ur. So that's what Rashi defines it. Lo bedak b'toch ha-moed. If he doesn't check b'toch ha-zman ha-bi'ur, yivdok achar ha-moed. Then he checks even after the zman ha-bi'ur. So that's what Rashi says. Tosafot disagrees, and he says that moed over here, b'toch ha-moed means the zman isur chametz. That means from the beginning of the seventh hour until the end of Pesach. And that's what moed means. Moed means like we would have assumed that moed means, which is what you would think moed means, which is Pesach. Just happens to be that Pesach has a more expansive definition over here, which is that includes even a little before Pesach, because that's when the Isur Chametz starts. But from the beginning of the Isur Chametz until the end of the Isur Chametz, that means B'toch HaMoed. And then if you didn't check then Bodek Achar HaMoed. And you have to check after Pesach is over in order to find the chametz, so it doesn't get mixed up with your other chametz, and you have to separate it out, because there is an Isur, we'll see later on, what you have to do with chametz, that's a var lava Pesach. But Tosafot says, I explain it this way, and he says Rashi is forced not to explain it this way, because Rashi believes that the bedikah being done here is for bal yireh or bal yimatzeh. That's what we saw Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi on the original Mishnah on the Masechta said that the reason you're doing bedikah is for bal yireh matzeh, which means that it's a doraita level. So of course Rashi is going to say that betoch ha-moed means before shata biur. Or it's Shat HaBiur, but Zmana Isur, that's not going to help you anymore for Bayirei Bayimatzeh. Bayirei Matzeh, you need to deal with right up front. So since Rashi has it that we're dealing with an issue of Bayirei Bayimatzeh, he sets up this Mishnah here, which is a continuation of that first Mishnah, as a case where it all takes place prior to Pesach. Because otherwise, what's the point of for Bayirei Bayimatzeh if you're trying to do it on Pesach itself? So Tosfot explains why Rashi has a different opinion over here, but those are the two ways to read this Mishnah. Then the last piece of the Mishnah, which we had quoted already earlier in the Gemara, is Mam Bishayir Yenechenu Bitzina. Whatever you leave over in terms of chametz after the bdikah, you should make sure you keep it in a careful place. Because if you don't, you're going to end up chasing after it afterwards, and that's not a good situation. So my time at the Rabbi Yehuda. What's the position of Rabbi Yehuda premised on that he requires three bdikot over here? There are three times in the Torah that it requires you to eliminate the chametz. This is interesting. It says, lo yirelecha chametz, lo yirelecha seor. So they see in this a parallel between the requirement to do tashpitu on which we have a mitzvah here, as just quoted here, as well as the isur chametz, which is bayira'eh u bayimatzeh. So bayira'eh precipitates or necessitates hashbata, bayimatzeh also necessitates a hashbata. And so too, hashbata itself, which is mentioned in the Torah, requires you to do hashbata. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda requires three separate bidikot in order to accomplish this hashbata, in order to do hashbata. It's an interesting approach. It's not simple because, of course, there's the word hashbata is only used once here. The other two cases are the isur. We discussed before the possibility in the Rishonim of what is precipitating what. Is it the bayireh bayimatzeh, which is causing you to have to do hashbata, or is the necessity for hashbata because of the isur chametz, because of the chumrah of chametz? But either way, here, the Gemara seems to package them together. And you should know that in general, that the Gemara before tried to differentiate between Bal Yireh and Bal Yimatzeh. And then the Gemara said in the end, there's a Hekesh between them. And that Hekesh between them makes them the same. from that point forward, the Gemara sees Bal Yireh and Bal Yimatzeh as almost synonymous and almost lacking any difference between them. Then they'll use them interchangeably. What the Gemara tried to do originally was differentiate between Bal Yireh and Bal Yimatzeh and say, Bal Yireh is really focused on Balut or ownership. And Bal Yimatzeh is about presence and being in your immediate sphere. So the Gemara saw those as being different items originally. Maybe there's only a requirement to deal with things that are in your possession, but that you have ownership over. And then the other possibility is, no, you have to deal with anything that's in your sphere, but things that are out of your sphere, you wouldn't have to deal with. And the Gemara in the end says there's a Hekesh between that brings them together and says that you have to deal with both. You have to deal with anything that you own, and you have to deal with anything that's in your sphere. And therefore, that's the requirement of Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh. But once we've reached that point in the Gemara, Bayireh Bayimatzeh become almost synonymous. And that's why over here the Gemara uses it, Bayireh Bayimatzeh and Ashbata, as being three different bidikot. So Meiti Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Omer, Koshalaud Badak Bashlosha Prakim Alalu Shuvenu Bodek. Whoever didn't check within these three time periods doesn't have to check after that. Alma Mikan Ve'elech Hudepligeh. Sounds from here that the Chamim only argue about afterwards. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda says you'd only do B'dikah in these three time periods. After that, you don't do a B'dikah. The Chamim say, no, even after that, you continue to do a B'dikah, even when you go into the Moed. All right, but you see from this is that their Machloket is limited to after that point in time. Which means beforehand, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim that it doesn't mean you do it three times. It means that you do it one of those three times. Marzutra mati hachi. Marzutra had this as the quote from Rav Yosef. Meitiv Rav Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol shelo badak bechad mishlosha prakim alalu, shuv enu bodek. Whoever didn't check in one of these three periods doesn't have to check anymore. Alma b'shuv ve'enu bodek hu depligi. When you have to come back, b'shuv ve'enu bodek, that's the question here. So according to Marzutra's version over here, then Rav Yosef's question is, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shelo badak me'echad mishlosha prakim alalu. He says it explicitly. He says, Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to do one out of these three. You don't have to do all three of them. So shuv ve'enu bodek. Alma shuv ve'enu bodek hu depligi. The only argument is whether you do a bdikah after those three periods. What's the machloket? El Yehuda Nami, im lo badak kamar. So Yehuda in our Mishnah also means, not that you have to do all three of them, but rather you have to do one out of those three. If that's the case, then he's the same as a chachamim. What's their machloket about? V'hocha b'haka miflegei. This is what they argue about. Mar saver mikame yisura in, batar yisura lo. The position Rabbi Yehuda is, before the Zman HaYisur, you can do b'dika. After the Zman HaYisur, we don't want you getting involved in b'dika anymore. Gzeira dilma ati lemechum minei. Because we're afraid if you do the bdika afterwards, the whole point of the bdika is to prevent you from coming into contact with the chametz later on and eating it. But here, if it's the Zman HaYisur and you can do bdika, you're going to come into the contact with the chametz. You're actually precipitating the problem that you're trying to prevent. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, better not to do a bdika after the Zman HaYisur. Banan Savre, Lugazrinan. The Rabbanan believe we don't make such a gzeira, and we tell you to do bdika because better when you're in Asuk and you're focused on it, that you get rid of it in that case, rather than when you bump into it, when you're not focused on it, and that could lead to bad results. So that's the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in our Mishnah. It's not about the period beforehand. The period beforehand, everybody agrees. You have three periods of time, and you do it in one of those three. Obviously, the optimal time is to do it on the night of the 14th. If not, then the morning of the 14th. If not, then Zman HaBiur. Question is, once you pass the Zman HaBiur, and now you're into the Moed, and you're into the Zman HaYisur, what is the requirement of Bdika? Rabbi Yehuda says, no more Bdika. I'm afraid you're going to come into contact with Chametz. It's going to cause a problem. Chachamim say, do a Bdika, because it's better to do it in that context, rather than to do it in a case where you're not involved in the chametz, and you've suddenly chanced upon the chametz where you can get into yourself into a problem. Okay, we'll stop over here.